Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 6. And reading from the verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death, and a faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. The King James says, let us go on to perfection, leaving aside those things, those rudimentary things, those principles, the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He never said leaving the doctrine of Christ, but the principles, which the principles are the very elementary things, including the resurrection of the dead. So this evening, I would like to speak on how that God raised up Jesus from the dead. It's an elementary thing, but in order for us to have in order for us to move on to perfection or maturity, as the NIV I just read from puts it, we need to understand the principal thing. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the reading of your word tonight. We pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, as we review some of these things. We know it's a review because we all believe that God raised up Jesus from the dead. We don't have a problem with that, Father, but help us, Lord, not just to believe it, because there's many people that look to the Scripture, look to your word as a theology, but, Father, we want more than a theology. Father, we don't care to be debaters and people who think that we know something when we really don't. But, Father, may our theology only be based upon Christ. And as Brother Branham said, it's not talking the word, it's actually applying it. And so, Lord, may the word, may the revelation of Jesus Christ may truly be applied in our life, and may there be a reality to us of the resurrection of the dead, of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, because we're part of that resurrection. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, to begin with our study here this evening, if we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 22, we read, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, in William Branham's ministry, there were seven people raised from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that a dead man was thrown on the grave of Elisha, and he was raised from the dead. So raising from the dead is not the important thing. The important thing is, what does that raising of the dead do for you? And we're going to find out tonight, it's just not theology, it's just not knowing about it. You know, the Jews, they knew that a man had been thrown on the dead bones of Elisha, and he raised back from the dead. So it was not an unknown thing. And that's not what the resurrection is all about, God raising a man from the dead. What the resurrection is all about is that the same spirit that was in that man was released back upon us so that we can have the same victory, the same life. Amen. As he did. So to begin in our thoughts tonight, again, let's turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to kind of go through the scriptures chronologically. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, whom he also determined to let go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." So we see here that God glorified his Son. God raised him up, set everything that was in God in him. Acts 3:26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, how could a man raising from the dead do something for you if there's no connection between that resurrection and you? You understand what I mean? It's not just a knowledge. Something took place that could turn every one of you away from his iniquities. That something that took place was the life, the spirit that was in Jesus Christ being released back. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you completely whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, people, especially you find this amongst the Catholics, you know, well, there's many roads that lead to heaven. No, there's not. I'm sorry, but there is not. There's only one name under heaven whereby we might be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, you might have people like Mahatma Gandhi. He was a very brilliant person, a very passive person, a very good person. But is he saved? Well, I won't be the judge, but the Word will judge. Mother Teresa, a good person, very compassionate person. But I would like to ask the question, how can you live under idolatry even though you're a good person? How can you live under idolatry and be saved? Except through the name of Jesus. That's it, period. Notice, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that includes the name Yahweh and Elohim, and other such names in which man has called God. Or they've called God, God. There is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So those people who claim to believe the message and want to make everything Yahweh this and Yahweh that and Elohim this and Elohim that, let's just say what the Scripture says. Years ago when I lived in Bloomington, Indiana, I had a good friend there who was studying Hebrew at Indiana University in Bloomington. And one day he comes over to my house, and when I opened the door, let him in, he was so excited, he was just kind of giddy. And I said, what are you so happy about? And he said, well, I finally discovered the name of God, or how to say the name of God. He had thought that through his learning Hebrew, he could now pronounce the name of God, in which, in the Hebrew language, there isn't any vowels. So the name is spelled, the name of Yahweh is spelled YHVH. And so he said, I've discovered how to say his name. And I said, oh yeah, what is it? And he said, Yahavah. And I burst out laughing like you did. I burst out laughing. He said, what's the matter? I said, brother, I've known how to say his name for a long, long time. I can pronounce it. Oh yeah? I said, it's Jesus. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. Then, therefore, the name of the Father is Jesus. I don't care about all this Elohim this, Elohim that, Yahweh this, Yahweh that. Forget it. There's one name given under heaven by which man might be saved, and that's Jesus. And the Bible says, all that you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Yahweh? Elohim? Yahweh Elohim? Adonai? No. Jesus. Jesus. You know, people get so spiritual, they think they got something. You know, you see these websites, even in this message, you know, it's you got Yahweh's servants and Yahweh this and Yahweh that. Give me a break. You know, let's get real Catholic. Let's get real spiritual. The most spiritist religion there is Catholicism. Well, except for the ones that aren't Catholic, like Buddhists, Taoists. But you look at I don't want to get into the Catholicism bit, but let me just say that when you start worshiping angels and the mother of God, how could God have a mother? I mean, total blasphemy. How could the infinite sovereign God have a mother? All right. Well, anyway, from the rising of the sun, Brother Brown said, as people today are trying to say, we should wash feet once a year or on Thursday or on Friday. We should take communion and all these different doctrines. And they argue about whether it should be this day or that day or whether it should be a Sabbath day or the first day of the week or all these kind of things are just merely traditions. What good would any of it do you, whether you had Lent or didn't have Lent, if there's no life in you? Now listen, what we're coming down to is this. What good is the doctrine doing people if they don't have life? What good is the message doing if there's no life? You see, it's only a memorial, which there's nothing against it, but they have certainly carried out their traditions, but left off the main thing. Satan doesn't care how religious you are, and Satan doesn't care how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. So what's more important? Now believe me, there's nobody that's gone around the world like I have to teach the doctrine. And I stand toe-to-toe with Brother Vail on the doctrine. And the doctrine is very, very important. But let me tell you something. The life is more important. The life is more important. Because if you don't have the life, you ain't got it. If you know all the mysteries, isn't that what Paul said? And have not love. And God is love and God is life. What good does it do you? No matter how religious, how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one thing unless you have been unless you've been born again. Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did he raise him up for a memorial? Is that what it's all about? And is this resurrection morning only a one day in the year or a certain day that we celebrate this? Or are we benefactors of this resurrection? That's the question Brother Bram's laying out here. Are we benefactors of his resurrection? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Now, we believe by faith that he raised from the dead, but what has that got to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. So unless that life that was released at Calvary is in you, what good does the resurrection do? What good is it talking about it? You can have your Friday night meetings every night of the week. Have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and talk. But if you're not born again, it ain't going to do you any good. That's what the resurrection, that's what it's important. Now, listen, we're still in the series, The Doctrine of Christ. One of the principles in the doctrine of Christ is that God raised Jesus from the dead. There's 18 scriptures that says God raised Jesus from the dead. But what's it all about? What does it matter? Well, I'm going to tell you, it matters a whole lot. Because if God didn't raise him from the dead, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, you might be sitting here tonight, but not filled with the Spirit of God. In Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Again, from the Rising of the Sun, paragraph 88. The last one was paragraph 1. But from paragraph 88, Brother Brown said, now notice this quickening power, Zoe, bringing the word, the mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you that you, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also. Amen. Now, this Brother Bram's not being philosophical here. And also quickened to life with him. You are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in his thoughts, but God has saw all in him at the finish. See, when God looked down upon the body, the spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that, but that was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and he didn't have to. If he'd have went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of a death because you can't kill God. But he didn't have to do it. But remember, he went there with you in him. See, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. See, They are one, the same word, the same word that spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. Now listen, unless you could understand that principle, what he's saying is that if the original seed had to be planted in the ground, that's why Jesus had to die. So that the life that was in the original seed could come up and then there'd be many kernels of wheat. You understand? You put a piece of corn in the ground, it goes in, it dies, it rots. But when the life that's in that comes up, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I don't remember how many hundreds in each ear and how many ears are on the corn stalk. I know there's something to that. I mean, there's a certain mathematical formula and all that goes with it. But the thing of it is that it's expedient that one would die, that many would live. You see? So it's expedient that we understand why God sent his son to death and raised him up. Because Paul also said in Romans 8, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will also quicken your mortal body, the bodies you're living in now. It'll quicken it to life. Now, so now, as we read about God raising up Jesus, I hope you can see that the scripture speaks of you as well. For the whole family of heaven is named Jesus. Now, as we go further into the book of Acts, let's read about God raising up Jesus with a newness that we didn't have before. That's why in Galatians 2 and 20 he said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that am living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I'm now living in this body, as Paul called the body of this death, I'm living by the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and gave his life for me and to me, that he might live again in my body. Again, we see in Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said that was Jesus was baptized with the same Holy Ghost baptism you're baptized with and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word. Now, from Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Branham said, look, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body and become members of this body. In Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And a man that's in Christ Jesus walks after spiritual things. To the world, it's carnal, it's a carnal mind, it's foolishness. But to them that believe, it's everlasting life. Amen. There you are. Oh, how marvelous. Then what can harm you? You're in Christ. And just as sure as God raised Jesus from the dead, we'll come in Christ. Amen. Yes, we've got it. God's done promised it. For just as sure as that body goes up, I'm in that body, I have to go with it. So, who cares what's coming down on this world? You understand what I'm saying? There's blessings and cursings. The world is under a curse right now. But I don't see any of you out of work. You understand what I'm saying? While Egypt was beating off the flies and the frogs and everything else, they didn't come in Goshen. While the world is being hit with every curse under Deuteronomy 28, God's seed are being blessed. And the blessings are being multiplied. And you're going to find out one of these days that all those times that you've been sowing, and for a long time you sowed and you said, I haven't seen any reaping. You will. Because it'll come upon you and it'll overtake you. And you will be so blessed that all you can do is just magnify God. Right. All that sowing you've done, it starts coming back. In Acts 13, verse 30, but God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of by the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, wander and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work in which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And have we not had the work of God in this day? Where God came down, he did a work, and a man declared it with a message, and yet they still don't believe, just as he promised in the Scriptures. Again, we see in Acts 17 and verse 31, but God raised him up from the dead, for as much then as we are his offspring, we ought not to think of the Godhead as like unto gold or silver or stone or graven arts of man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That means change your thinking. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear this man again, or we'll hear this matter again. From the pool of Bethesda, Brother Bram said, now, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and we become members of that body which God raised up from the dead. And as he was raised up, being dead in his body, shall the judgments of God pass over to his blood. And we shall come forth someday made like unto his own glorious body. You see, everything we stand for went down in that cross and came up again. In other words, if that seed didn't go down, you wouldn't be sitting here with God life, Son of God life. As Brother Bram said, we are the body of Christ. So when God raised up that body, we were also raised with him. And that is what Paul is saying in Ephesians 1 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. In Romans 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Do you notice the parallel? He's talking about the father of our faith, and he's talking about the royal seed of Abraham, which is Jesus. Both Abraham, who was dead in his body, and yet the promise of God brought forth a son. And so the death of Jesus' body brought forth sons. You understand? And from the message from that time, Brother Bram said, God took him up to Calvary and he tore him apart, separated his soul from his body. And his body God raised up on the third day and took up and set on his right hand. And on the day of Pentecost, he sent down the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, the covenant with the church. And when the church comes together in the resurrection, the same Spirit was in Jesus Christ that was tore out of him will have to be in that church. You can't copy anything like it. You can't make nothing different from it. It's got to be the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Christ. And when the rapture comes, when that body comes, his bride that was tore from him, or the Holy Ghost will bring that bride just exactly dovetail right into the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He was talking about, you know, that Chinese ticket. You rip it in half. You see? Well, Christ is the head. We are the body. But the same life that was in him must be in you. So that when God raises up, look, one of these days God's going to leave this earth when he does. If you're in him, if you're in Christ, you're going with him. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, that means buried together, in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. What's he talking about? He's talking about you've got to die like he died, that the life that was in Christ might live in you. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I hope you can understand that we can't look at the doctrine of Christ and say, well, you know, we've got some principles, we've got some issues that we can talk about, some facts, and we can say, well, God raised Jesus from the dead, therefore Jesus could not be God because God raised him. God can't raise himself from the dead. And we say, well, those are fine, those are, you know, good arguments, but the fact is, what good is it going to do you? Unless you understand that death was not in vain, that the resurrection was not in vain, that if you're not brought into it by the releasing of the Spirit back into you, like Brother Branham, we read the quote, he said, what good does it do you? Is it just a memorial? It is. You look at all the churches, and you look at every single Christian church in the world, bar those, except those that truly have an understanding of the message for the hour. And even in those churches, you have people sitting in the pews that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a memorial. Something that happened 2,000 years ago. Not something that has happened to them. You understand? From Let Us See God, Brother Bram said, God is in his word. Anybody will take his word? Any promise? Let me go on record by saying this. If you'll take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God, it'll bring it to pass. That's what I think about his word. You take any promise in here, and you take the right mental attitude towards it, God will bring it to pass for you. God is in his word. God is in his son. He was divine. He's the son of God. I believe that with all that's in me. I believe it. Yes, sir. He was not more. He was a prophet. Sure, he was a prophet. He was a preacher. He was a singer. He was God. God manifested in the flesh. God came down in the flesh to reconcile the world to himself. Then that wonderful Son of God died. And when he died, he gave his life. And he rose again on Easter, and God raised up his body and set it on his right side and sent the Holy Spirit back to continue to manifest himself among the people. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Romans 8 and 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And talking about Elijah, Brother Branham said in a sermon, God's provided a place of worship. He said, now, we find out that the old fellow, being a prophet, he cursed that thing and everything and stayed perfectly in the will of God. When all the rest of the preachers weakened off, he stayed right there with it. And one day he got so tired that God just sent down his chariot down from heaven and horsed the fire and took him up, and he was so full of that quickening power. Just think, with the Word of God in his heart, he becomes so full of that quickening power that quickened him. If the Spirit of God, I believe we find in Romans 8 and 11, it is, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it be in you, it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. It'll quicken it. What does the word quicken mean? The Greek word means to be brought to life after death. Hallelujah. There's the gates of worship. Worshiping in the Spirit and truth. Mechanics and dynamics together. You see what I mean? If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal bodies because it's already life. Life. And when it comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. Subject to what? The Word of God, if it's in you. Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And from Thinking Man's Filter, Brother Branham said, now look at this modern church, look at their filter, you can see what they love. See what they got, the love. What do they love? Miss Laodicea, which is headed for God's judgment, that's right. The love, the church love today is for Laodicea, a great organization, a great setup, a great popular thing. Fine dressed people, highly cultured, full of wisdom, full of the devil, under the deceit of the church of Christ. There's only one word ought to be in there, Antichrist. See, for everything that Christ taught, they're against practically everything. Right, just enough so that they can call themselves that. Now, if you are a thinking people tonight, here and out in the land where the message is going, your desire will be a Bible taste. Not a denominational taste, for you will be judged by the very Bible. The word that I'm asking you to filter your soul through. And to reject one word of it, and not let your soul pass through that one word, you'll be turned down, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it will be brought into you predestinated, and when the Lord breathes upon you, His Spirit will quicken that word to a reality. And you'll see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what does that mean? How can you see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How can that be a reality? Well, because I saw a prophet 20, 40, 50 years ago. Oh yeah, what about now? How many of you in here ever saw the prophet in person? Just one. Just one. So how can that make a reality to you? But see, if you got the same life, the same Holy Spirit that was in that prophet, that was in the Son of God, that came back, the Word of God becomes a reality to you, and you see the Word become alive. In Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6 and 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised not up Christ, that he raised up Christ whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is parousia. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And from the rising of the sun, in closing, Brother Brown said, you who were once dead in sin and trespass and darkness has he quickened, by what? By his Spirit that raised up Jesus on Easter morning from the dead. And if it dwells in your mortal bodies, now watch, it also quickens, it brings to life, it makes it subject to the Word. Now how can you claim to have the Spirit and throw yourself away from the Word? You're quickened by something else. For it will quicken your mortal bodies to the Word. Sure it will. You can't run without it. You'll just sputter if you don't believe all of it. If you have part gasoline and part water, you ain't going nowhere. See? You've got to take it 100% gasoline. And if you don't, you're backfiring. And you ain't got no power. See? But I believe this, but I don't know. I don't believe that. Pump, 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 pump. You ain't going nowhere. But oh, when you take the fullness, let it light up on that. Every word is truth. That's the problem we have today. The people got mechanics, but not dynamics. And without the dynamics, your engine ain't going to work. And without, listen, let me put it this way. Without the Holy Spirit baptism, your doctrine ain't going to do you no good. I know a church, a denominational church. They even have a college in Atlanta. It's called Atlanta Bible College. They teach there's one God and he had a son. They say not two gods. One is God, one is the Son of God. They teach the very same tenets mostly, except for they don't believe in a pre-incarnate Son of God. That's where they differ. But they teach the fundamentals almost identical, except for that one fundamental. So they've got it, but they don't got it. What good does it do? The Muslim will tell you that Jesus was not God. How could he be God? He prayed to God. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Muslim can tell you, Jesus, the man, was not God. The thing they don't understand, they don't believe, is that God was in his son. God indwelt his son. So what good does a doctrine do? You can be perfectly right with it. But if you're not born again, the life that comes from the doctrine has got to spark you to life. And if it doesn't, you're just a good church member. Pay your tithes, go to church, be the pastor's cheerleaders, or the church's cheerleaders, or the organization's cheerleaders. And what good is that going to do you when you stand at the white throne and have to give an account for your whole life? Oh boy, I stood right in the corner with my pastor. What if the pastor's lost? Where does it get you then? You see, it's time that you individually look at your own self. Take an inventory of your own self, where you stand, where you don't. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. That's the energy of God, energio, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And finally, 1 Peter 1:21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you also have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass wherewith and the flower therewith falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And I guess our last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and the Lord Jesus, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only unto Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had among you, and how that you turned from God, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And that's what we're waiting for. The Holy Spirit's here. The Spirit that was in Jesus. He's here. And if that Spirit has quickened you to the Word for the age, when the age is ended, you're going. When he leaves, you leave. Brother Bram said it would be like such a natural thing, like turning on a light. He said that's what the rapture would be like. He said just as natural as turning on a light. But he said it'd be so common. Don't let it become so common to you. He said because it'll become so common to people, it'll pass right through them and they'll not even be aware. Let us take heed. And let us be aware. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says grieve not the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, he said, if you be any otherwise minded, he'll reveal it to you. Simply get on your knees and repent. Ask God to forgive you. When you, listen, sometimes you're going to do something and you know it's wrong, but you say, well, I'm already moving toward it. Put on the brake. Just put on the brake. Stop. Repent means just turn around. Change your thinking. Don't be the devil's advocate. Don't be the devil's tool, his vessel. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer to you. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. We ask you, Lord, to give us victory over the bodies of this death. Knowing, Father, that we could go a day, 2 days, 3 days, maybe sometimes, walking in your Spirit. But then something come up, something contentious, and Father, we find ourselves not acting as we should. But we know even your Son, Jesus, went into the temple and turned over the money changers and stuff. And if he had a wife, she probably would have said that he wasn't doing right. But Lord, we know that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so we pray, Father, you'd help us to be led by your Spirit and not by the thoughts of men or others. But help us, Lord, to truly in our hearts know when we're right to stand with you. And we saw how Elijah was seemed to be a woman hater. Seemed to be rebuking the people all the time, and people thought, this guy must have an attitude. Yet you loved him so much, Father, that when he got tired out, you sent down a chariot to bring him home. Help us, Lord, to have the same testimony, that our life is so pleasing to thee, that when we're just wore out, you come and take us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace.